Friends, good morning. Welcome back. We have an exciting program for you here today. Today is the what we're going to do is the last three verses of chapter 7. So we're getting closer to the middle of the Gita. Gita has 18 chapters, and we are coming to the end of chapter 7. Two more chapters, and that'll be the half. So verse 28. Lou, how are you?
I'm very good this morning. How are you doing? Good. I'm very excited.
Good. And the next episode, Lou has asked me to do a field trip since we're finishing chapter 7.
Yes.
We found that we get a lot of emails and messages and texts from you, the listeners, whenever there's a field trip compared to the Gita. So it's telling me something.
Yeah, the field trip in the next episode, we're going to finish up chapter 7 here, but the field trip in the next episode is about something I've never heard of before. So I'm very excited about that.
Oh, good. Okay, so verse 28 says, "But those men of virtuous deeds whose sins have come to an end, they, freed from the delusion of the pairs of opposites, worship me with firm resolve." So much of this we have already done, and we will be doing it again in chapter 8. But let's take each sentence as it comes. It's men of virtuous deeds. In chapter 4 in the Gita, Krishna says there is no greater purifier than knowledge.
Right.
So purification of what? Purification of your sins. What are sins? Sins are the impurities of the mind or the desires which cause sorrow. When you do something that is hurts your own conscience and you keep worrying about it, keep thinking about it, that's a sin. When you have a desire for something that you don't have and you keep dwelling on it and it causes you mental agitation, that's a sin. So in chapter 4, Krishna says that there's no greater purifier to get rid of your sins, your desires, your mental agitation than knowledge. So what you're doing today is gaining knowledge. What I did when I learned from Gautam Jain and other swamis is the knowledge. But the knowledge alone is not enough. Your pursuit of knowledge has to be supplemented with karma. Karma is the action of doing something unselfishly. If you do it selfishly, that you want to get something out of it, then that negates, to some extent, not completely, it negates the action that you're doing. Your karmas have to be unselfish, selfless. So Krishna says here that those who pursue knowledge and who work for an unselfish goal in their life, those are called men of virtuous deeds. And if you're selfish, your mind is agitated. Your pursuit of knowledge has to be supplemented by karma, and the mental agitation is unfulfilled desires. You can never have a mental agitation without an underlying desire. So right. That's a given. If you don't have those underlying desires, you don't have mental agitation. The desires cause the mind to be agitated. That's sin. Then these desires cause you to have, "I like this," and "I don't like it," is the exact opposite. We went through this already. The mind is highly agitated with these likes and dislikes. And even if you fulfill, "I like this," the desire, raga, the agitation ceases very temporarily. Then the same or another desire comes up immediately. In this verse, Krishna says, they who are freed from the delusion of pairs of opposites, the likes and dislikes, the raga and the dvesha, those who are freed from it, don't have likes, don't have dislikes, they have no desires. And those could be not just for money or beauty or fame. It can be as simple as, I want people to say nice things about me. I don't want people to say bad things about me. When the desires drop, peace, happiness, natural attraction to Brahman or God comes over. So that's verse 28. Verse 29 says, those who strive for liberation from old age and death, taking refuge in me, they realize the whole, Brahman, Adhyatma, and all karma. So he mentions two other things here, which is Adhyatma and karma. And we will see that this is a description of God that is taken up more fully in chapter 8. what exactly is God? We already did that in some of our previous verses, but he touches on it again and again so it gets through to us. So those who strive for liberation from old age and death, meaning those who are working towards self-realization so that when they get to that self-realization, they go straight directly to nirvana, they realize the whole by taking refuge in me. In me meaning Brahman, Adhyatma, and all karma. So in chapter 8, you will see that Brahma is described as being without name, without fame, without existence, without form, without and is basically consciousness, bliss, and existence, right? Mm-hmm. Sat, Chit, Anand. So here he says Brahman is the creator of this world as per Prakriti. He creates matter. That Brahman has many names. Although we say he's nameless, we as human beings give Brahman a sex, saying he's a man. He's mm-hmm. not. It's like electricity. Is it male or female? And that Brahman, when Brahman comes into us, Brahman causes our matter, the body, and Brahman causes life within us. Brahman causes this earth, Brahman causes the cosmos, and all the life on it. But to create this world, the cosmos, Brahman had to do some deed, some action, right?
Right.
In order for this world, this universe to be created, something had to happen, some matter. Just like with water, H2O, you have to put the H2 and the O together to make it water. So similarly, right. Brahman had to create something, to do something. And that is known as his karma. That's his deed. He did that. And then he had to infuse life into it to bring life to it. It's like the electricity right now flows into a bulb and then lights it up and there's light.
Right.
But what if electricity had to actually create the filament and the bulb and then go into it and cause the light to come on and create light? So Brahman actually did that, created the cosmos, created the world, the earth, and then created human beings, animals, insects, fish, and then put life into them. So it's like an actor in a movie. I don't know if the English movies have this as much, Lou. In mm-hmm. the old, when I was a kid, it was very popular to see one actor playing more than one role in the same movie.
In the same movie? Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens, but not too often.
Not too often. Back then, it was, they loved the idea of taking a screen, splitting it into half, having the actor on one side be the villain, the same actor on the other side be the hero. You were shocked to see how did this same person act as two roles.
Right.
But those are camera tricks. But in this, it's not a trick. Brahman is actually playing a double role. He creates the matter, the body, and then goes in and creates the life within. So he's the Brahman at the same time and he's the Atman at the same time. Then he does karma to create the world. Then he is Adibhuta. That means Bhuta is the elements. So the Mahabhutas are five Panchabhutas. Through, this is known as the Prakriti, the matter. And we all show up as these elements. Then right. comes Adideva. So he's all the small gods that we talked about last time with the small g.
Yes.
He presents as these small gods. He's all the devas. And the last one is Adiyajna, the jiva. The Atma identifies with the mind, body, intellect, and does yajnas. And so the individual, I, you, we are all known as Adi Yajna. So that's verse 29. Last verse of chapter 7 is verse 30. And that says, those who know me with Adibhuta, above the elements, Adideva, above the gods, and Adiyajna, above sacrifice, even at the time of death, they steadfast in mind, know me. So this verse has been misinterpreted and misunderstood a lot. When he says, even at the time of death, people think that at the time of death, you have to remember God and you will go to nirvana.
Right.
All your life you can do, they think, bad things. And just as you die, just focus your mind on God and you'll get there. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
So what he's saying is, if throughout your life you know me with being above the elements that we talked about, above the small gods, even if you pray to Ganesh and Lakshmi and Parvati, Shiva, I, as Brahman, am above that. And if you know that throughout your life and you're doing selfless karmas and sacrifice, only then, when you die, you're going to be thinking of me. Like Gandhi, for instance, when he was assassinated, he was shot. And as he was dropping, as he was dying, he fell down and he said, Ram, Ram, which is God's name. And so the first thing, he didn't say, ow, he didn't say, you know, give a curse to the person who shot him. He was thinking of and speaking of God because his whole life was thinking about God. So that's verse 30. And Brahman's manifest nature is above the elements. It's above gods and above sacrifice. Brahman is above the five elements. Brahman is above the various gods with small g that are the various live expressions of Brahman. All the gods and goddesses merely represent the powers and functions of the one supreme Brahman. This is a quote from Swami Parthasarathi. Adi Yajna, Brahman is above the Atman, which gives life to the inert matter, which is a living being. So matter is Brahman, life is Brahman, all beings are totally Brahman, the entire world is all Brahman. So that's verse 30, and that's the end of chapter 7. If you have any questions, please do write to us. It is a pleasure to get messages from you. I'd be more than happy to reply. And next time, we will do our field trip. I'm going to be talking about 3 or 4 very interesting things that I think you will love. What episode would that be, Lou?
That's going to be episode 87.
Great. Okay. Thank you all for joining us.